Blog Talk Radio. Hi, this is Salita with Say Your Peace Radio Show. Sit back, relax. We want to hear from you. So call in at 347-677-1749 to say your peace. Now, our host, Saluda.
Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, well, good evening, because it's nighttime here. I hope everyone has had a great weekend. I know I have. I'm trying to see it. Is my co-host out there?
I'm out here.
Okay. Hey, how are you, Brian?
I'm doing pretty good. I guess I am in the wilderness today, sitting in front of the pit.
Oh, Lord Jesus. What you got on the pit?
Oh, I just took some beans off. Now I got some chicken on.
Oh, Lord have mercy. At this time of night. Anyway, okay, you guys. I want to welcome our guest, Mr. Maurice Chandler, tonight out of Baltimore, Maryland. How are you doing, Mr. Chandler?
Hello. How you doing, Selena? How are everyone?
Brian, you out there? Did you hear Mr. Chandler?
How you doing, Mr. Chandler?
Yes, how you doing?
Good, doing good.
Okay, you guys. To all my listeners out there, if you want to...
Salida, you're kind of fading on us. Chandler's coming in clear.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yeah, a little bit better.
Okay, I'm sorry. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Okay, all right. I'm sorry. Anyway, we have Mr. Chandler, and I kind of go back and forth with Mr. Chandler on Facebook, and I just thought he had some real great knowledge with the information that he gives, and I said, you know what, I need to get him on our show. And what we named the show tonight is Knowledge is a Weapon That Can Be Used to Fight Ignorance. And since I've seen how Mr. Chandler is so full of all that knowledge, I thought maybe we could bring him on the show and let him share some of that knowledge with us tonight. What you think, Mr. Chan? You think you can do that for us?
I'll give it a shot.
Okay. Okay, now, I can't remember what I said we were going to, because you have so much in so many different areas that you're in that I couldn't think of one. Oh, I know what we were talking about. We were talking about the government. That was one of the things that kept hitting me when I was paying attention to your post on Facebook. So let's start with the debate. What did you think about the debate?
That debate it's a little bit more deeper than what's being shown with the eyes. It's more than meets the eyes, like Transformers. It's dealing with the government is dealing basically with corporations, and that's what people don't realize. It's business. It's business. So for them too to get on TV like that and put on that show, pretty much they just being actors on it. They're not being true. Talking about Big Bird and all of that stuff that doesn't have anything to do with anything. What needs to be explained is that the education that we have is not, you know, it's just not good. It's not a good quality education where they're teaching these children about business. It's basically a whole lot of socialism that's being, you know, promoted in these schools. I mean, they change history, the social studies. Pretty much social studies right there telling you right there that they are, you know, preparing the children to be, you know, coercing them into being in socialism and stuff like that. Because all of this stuff basically started from around the 1400s and the 1500s in Europe. Even before they even came across the water, they was dealing with business. Everything was dealing with corporations. From the time that they came over on the Mayflower and all them other different types of ships, they all came over here as a company. America America was basically a product. That's what America really is. It's a product. And they have the corporation, one of them by the name of Virginia Company. It was called Virginia Company, which was named after Queen Elizabeth, which she was called the Virgin Queen. And what happened was, consequently, a lot of the African slave trade was basically due to the corporation as far as cotton and tobacco. Tobacco was one of the main products that they used at that time. Now, in these days, we're using basically oil and credit and wars. War is also a product as well, too, that they're using. It's really deep, though. It's a lot of things that's going on out here that they're not telling everybody. You think that Obama is basically the president. He is the president of the corporation called the United States.
Exactly.
But it's not. He's not really representing us. When you think about it, you go back to the 14th Amendment. The 14th Amendment basically formed incorporations. So that was laws that was for incorporations, like your name when it's written in all caps. That's an incorporation. And it's basically a member of the United States. So when we go and we look at applications, we fill out applications and they ask you, are you a U.S. citizen? Basically, you are the executor basically signing for that corporation, that corporate name, claiming to be the U.S. citizen. And so a lot of people think that it's representing people. It's not really representing people like a living soul. It's really representing a person. And definition of person deals with corporations, partnerships, organizations, individuals, because when people see the word individual, they think it's talking about an human, too. It's not. It's talking about artificial legal fiction. It's a legal fiction that they're talking about. And people can't seem to distinguish the two. You understand? I mean, even when you go in the courtroom or you get a ticket or you get your bills, you look at your credit cards, your licenses and stuff like that, and people think that that name represents them when it doesn't. It was a name that was given to you from your birth certificate. When that birth certificate has a lot to do with Christianity, like the ritual, stuff like that, dealing with the laws of the water, which is the Admiralty Maritime Law, which deals with the laws of the water. It's basically like a baptism ritual where they take your name, your mother signs over your name, you know, over to the state, which takes it over to the title. Take the title of it, and then they take it to the Department of Biostatistics. Biostatistics take it to the Department of Commerce, and then the Department of Commerce then take it over to the Federal Reserve. Then they would do credit. This is how they do business. Everything in this country is commerce. It deals with commercial, and that's what a lot of people don't understand. And when you don't understand what's going on, they can take you out. I mean, you don't have any weapons. You don't have no... because you don't know what's going on.
So do you believe it could have been done a different way when it's dealing with us? Do you think that we could have done something or they could have created something differently, or was it meant to be just like it is?
I really truly believe it was meant to be that way, because we don't realize that we're really not free. I mean, people really think that we are free. We're not really free. Because we are basically tattooed slaves to that name. Anything that name is charged, or whoever charges that name, basically we're the ones, the energy. You know, we have to go out here and work every day, you know, for that particular name. You know what I mean? When you go to work, you're not really the one that's working, because you can't a contract. A human in a corporation cannot do a contract. So they have to have a liaison. It has to be a go-in-between man. It has to be somebody that operates in between y'all. So that's why they set the name up, so that you can work with the corporation. So that's basically all you are is just the energy. You're just the energy that's charging that name.
Oh, okay. I never thought about it like that. I never knew of it, you know, in that.
No, it's a secret. They don't want a lot of people to know about it. It's a it's a big movement out there. I mean, they call it the sovereigns movement, but it's not really a sovereigns movement. It's more like the Kurd Party. They try to you know, demonize it so people can, you know, think that it's bad, but it's actually just knowing your rights. You have rights, birth rights, when you were born, but they were taken from you, with, you know, through the corporation, which is, you know, United States. You had the Virginia Company, you had the East Indian Company, you had the Dutch East Indian Company. All of these different companies are still here. And a lot of people don't understand that this is even still a colony of England. This still belongs to England. All of that Revolution War and all that stuff was a scam. A lot of people don't understand that. This is still a colony of England. All they did was change it from a colony to a plantation, and then from a plantation to a state. So we're still operating in a colonial system, but it's just been disguised by changing the name. We know corporations can change their names. We do it all the time. You can get a name changed. You can change your own name, a legal name change. So pretty much they change around the definitions of, I mean, let's take for instance, back then the dictionary was looked like a big supersized book. Nowadays a dictionary looks like a magazine. So they've taken out and suppressed a lot of the words out of the dictionary, where so people are not able to understand, because the main thing of interpreting anything is you got to understand the meaning of the word. And when you're taking that out of the dictionary and suppressing words, I mean, it's just they're trying to keep us in a lower energy. You know, they don't want us to be too high, because then you would be able to rule. You would know who you are. It's all, I mean, it's pretty much like Adam and Eve. You know, they didn't, you know, God of the Bible didn't want them to eat the apple, which was given them what? The knowledge of good and evil. He didn't want them to have the knowledge, which is light. So then that would mean that they would know that they were gods themselves, or they control themselves. In order to keep a person in control, you take the knowledge from them.
Ah, okay. Now, are you familiar with the Rothschilds and the Bilderberg group and what they call that?
Trilateral Commission. Council on Foreign Relations.
Yes, all of those. Okay. Now, kind of explain, because everybody doesn't know what those are. Can you briefly describe those?
Even I don't know as much what they are. They're so secretive. All I know is that it's basically dealing with foreign policies. Like, they deal with the policies, and, you know, they pretty much the think tanks. That's what they are. They're the ones who sit up with, you know, and think about, you know, ways of making money. That's what it's all about. It's all about making money or credit. I'll say credit, because there really is no money. It's just credit. And they come up with all different types of ways of, you know, dealing with the controlling people, pretty much. Because they got to keep people controlled, you know what I'm saying? Because you can't, I mean, we have over, you know, 300 million people in the United States, and you only have about 545 people basically running the country that's controlling them, you know. So, but these people are basically high up on that pyramid, on that Illuminati pyramid, you know. They right third from the top of the pyramid. They do all the thinking, basically. They're the brains of the operation that's down, you know, that we basically have to deal with today. So, I know the Bilderberger group, they deal with the UN, which the UN, I think, falls right up under them. I think they fall under the Bilderberger group, because the Bilderberger group and the Trilateral Commission and the Council on Foreign Relations, they do all the thinking. They have all the policies. Basically, all the policies are pretty much already drawn out, because these people think at least 500 years ahead of us. They have at least 500 years of knowledge, I mean, you know, of their agenda that was ahead of us. I mean, that's why it's kind of difficult for us to try to unite, you know, and try to come up with our own organizations and try to come up with free market, because really there is no free market. The free market is a game too. Everything is pretty much sold up. They got everything pretty sold up right now. It's going to be pretty difficult for somebody to just come out like Marcus Garvey did and try to form some type of organization when these people already basically got our life pretty mapped out.
Okay. Now, you were talking about the Illuminati. How is the Illuminati connected with the government?
Basically, what the Illuminati is, it's just an organization pretty much that, and they deal with knowledge, stuff like that. They have the knowledge that we don't have.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much, and they have it's like a secret, you know, it's a lot of secrets that they hide, and you know what the funny thing is, we're the secret that they hide. You know, they're basically hiding our secret, because a lot of the stuff that they got, you know, came from the ancient chemists and a lot of from the ancient world, and we all know that our African ancestors was the ones that came up, pretty much developed. Is the blueprint of most of the system that they're under right now.
Is that not so that the secrets of especially the White Mason and the Shriners, we're basically their secret that's being taught and discussed in the same context with some of those some of the big leaders, and our forefathers were under that Mason and Shriners.
I've heard things about the Shriners being basically in the Middle Eastern cult like that. As far as the founding fathers, they wasn't really they was really into the hermetics and all of that. You know, they dealt with a lot of hermetic science and stuff like that. And they basically came out of the House of Burgess. That's what the House of Burgess is really the original, you know, Congress, pretty much. And before they even became really the Congress, they was the House of Burgess.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And they formed, basically, they adopted, like the Constitution that they came around, they pretty much adopted what was already, had already been established at that time.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm listening to you, and my thing is, you're giving me all this doom and gloom that we're already marked, we're done. Is there any hope? Let me say it like this.
Hope.
Is there any hope for us?
Only thing I can say is we all need to get knowledgeable about what they're actually doing. That's all that I can pretty much say. We have to know what's going on. That way our lives can be better. But the system is going to go the way it's going to go. You know, I mean, we had it for what? Some say we was in control, you know, over what, 25,000 years, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And they've only had it for about what? About 4,000 to 6,000 years so far. I mean, far as with the history, which a lot of the history, you really can't trust it. A lot
no.
of stuff you got to go by your design, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But
because everybody, and that's the whole point of history, it's his story. It's not the real story, is history. And knowledge has to be, you have to gain knowledge from, we don't have a lot of our ancestors still alive if we was to go by what they say.
Yeah.
It's
just like I'm not trying to cut you off, but it's kind of like the story of the Labyrinth, you know, the Labyrinth story where, you know, we're in a Labyrinth, but our ancestors didn't leave no crumbs behind, you know, or the golden rope that we could follow, you know what I mean?
Their
ancestors did. Their ancestors left, you know, the golden rope where they could walk through the Labyrinth as long as, you know, it's going to be difficult, but we're basically in a Labyrinth, you know, with this thing. I just say we could collect information, you know, maybe, you know, like a lot of the true scholars are doing, you know, they're collecting the information, you know, to bring on to the next generation. That's the only way we could do it, because a lot of this stuff I will never learn in my lifetime. I mean, this is thousands of years of knowledge that I could it's impossible for me to possibly figure that out in my lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
So I could say we could have hope for the future if we start grabbing our children. You know, our generation could you know, collect the information and add more to it. Like, I mean, pretty much like my teachers, you know, like John Henry Clark, Marcus Garvey, and you know, all of those leaders back then that left, you know, they left us something, you know, to move forward with. I mean, it wasn't much, but they left us with something.
But the problem with that is, even though we were left with something, a lot of people just don't know how to use it, and that's why I think they call this the dummy down generation, because they really we as the generation that's getting ready to pass on, we really not leaving them with anything.
Well, we're really not. I think that one of the major is something that we heard just the other night, you guys, is that we went down to see Men's Farrakhan, is that we're not controlling the major books and references that are being taught to dumb our children. Our children been dumbed down because we're not in control of any of the material they've been taught.
Exactly.
Sending them to the enemies to teach them false teaching and inferior teaching.
You're right.
Yeah.
We're dumbed down. I mean, we got washed up knowledge as well too. I mean, I'm not gonna sit here and say that I got 360 degrees of knowledge, because it's just anybody that can say that is basically false. Just even come out their mouth and say that, because the knowledge has been so distorted. You know, it's only thing I can say is we still gotta try. You still gotta try. We can't give up. You
got to
keep going.
That's so true, but what gets me is if you talk to a lot of black people,
mm-hmm.
they will acknowledge that we're not getting the truth. Mm-hmm. They'll acknowledge that we're being done wrong. They also acknowledge that the opportunity is not what they should be, but then
uh-huh.
we don't come together to do anything to try to rectify at least a small percentage of that.
Yeah.
Well, that's true.
It's sometimes it's so frustrating, and it's not because of money, because we have the money, but we just so divided. It's just like
mm-hmm.
we scared that the other person gonna get more than we gonna get, and it might not be money, it just be glory.
You're right about that. We like crabs in a bucket.
And we all say we like that, and but yet still. We still have those out there that's leading us that we still follow that's steady doing it.
You're right. But then that's another thing. We've been so confused. I mean, we don't even know which leader is real. We don't know. I mean, you want to follow. You got Al Sharpton. You have, what's his name, Dr. Wesley, and a lot of those people out there, they have their own, everybody, they have their own group. You see what I mean? Minister Louis Farrakhan, he had their own group. You see what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And that's where a lot of the division coming from. Another thing is they need to do is, I mean, I understand people have their views on religion. Like Malcolm said, you know, put the religion on the side and let's deal with black. You know, deal with our people. You know, you can keep your own opinion inside, you know, somewhere else. But when you come in together, you focus on your people, you know, focus on yourself. They should be putting everybody else's opinion into our agenda.
And that's so true to a point. I think is what we have to understand is that we are representing our people.
Right.
It should not matter about their religious
mm-hmm.
Affiliation. It shouldn't matter about anything that's concerning anything but trying to make it in this world, trying to do better as a people. But a lot of times we do let that get in front of us, and we miss the big picture.
And, yes, we do.
And generations of our people suffer because of it.
Yeah.
You want to be big peace. I don't like him because he's Muslim. I don't like him because he's Christian. I don't like him because he's Buddhist or whatever he is. But and then we let that get in the way, but we steady say that we're working for the same goal, and then we don't see that we're hindering the race. We think it's just an individual thing, but it's a whole lot bigger than that.
Exactly.
Much bigger.
Erica 253, did you have something to say?
Hi, Felita. This is Roz. How are you?
Hi,
Brian.
How you doing, Roz?
I'm doing good. Hi, Maurice. I finally get a chance to hear your voice. He's one of my Facebook friends as well. I was just calling to add on to what Maurice was saying. His subject is pretty deep, talking about the Bilderberg family. The knowledge that I have on this family is, I just wanted to answer one of your questions, Felita. You had asked the question of what is the Illuminati and how does the Bilderberg family play into it. Well, from what I've understand, the Illuminati is a secret society group. The Bilderberg Corporation is the highest out of all of the Illuminati families. They're pretty much like families. Each one of them have a different task to take on. The Bilderbergs, they actually own the UN. They own the UN building. They own the Federal Reserve Bank. And according to many experts, all of the wars that we have had from the beginning of time has been brought on due to the Bilderbergs trying to keep power and money and resources in control.
Yeah.
Right now we have a war. The reason why we have the war going on overseas in Libya and other places in the Middle East is due to gold. It all started with Gaddafi. Many people don't know. Gaddafi, he was pretty much a genius. He wanted to overthrow the Federal Reserve. He had came up with a plan and united with other nations in the Middle East of Africa, and they wanted to call themselves the United States of Africa, and make their own currency. In doing so, because a lot of people are not aware that Libya is the second highest in resources of gold next to England. Gaddafi created his own currency. If he would have gotten away with creating his own currency, it would have overthrown the American dollar.
That's right.
And this is the reason for the war over there. It has nothing in the world to do with democracy. It's all built on power and greed. The model for the Illuminati stands is how well they can deceive others. That's their model.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what has been going on since their existence, is how well they can fool people. We have other parts of the branches of that family. Some of them deal with eugenics. They plant certain experiments on not just American people, but people nationwide, internationally. They plant experiments on them. A lot of people, such as Jeremiah Wright, has claimed that HIV and AIDS was started from this.
Whatever had to do with the Memorandum 200 of National Security Memorandum 200 with the depopulation. And basically,
I'm sorry.
You heard of the Memorandum 200?
Haven't. And please enlighten me on that.
You look that up, and that tells you about the depopulation. All of these things are tools for the population.
I believe.
They really want to clear out Africa. I mean, they already set up the African Command. A lot of people don't know about that, where they put the military. They call it aid. They call it military aid. But how military is going to, you know, provide aid for a country. But
it's never aid. And any time that it gets to the point where aid is involved, then that means that the country has already been overthrown and taken and resources stolen out. That's the name of the game. It's how well they can deceive all of us.
Then they don't understand the term independent. These countries, these African countries are independent. It doesn't mean that they are out of the colony, you know, because they're still colonies. Wherever England land, they stay. Even after they gave them independence, they still have, they just basically control them like a remote, like a remote. They have a remote control on all of those countries.
Of course, because this is where the highest resources are available. I mean,
it's basically,
right now,
it's basically, the world. It's basically set up like the so-called, like the United States government so-called gave land back to the Native Americans, but they still control it.
That's right. They let them own it, but they control it.
They control it. They things that they can't do, they still have to go through their court systems. They, I mean, they still control every move that they make.
Yeah. Anyone,
if you're independent, you don't go through another country's court system. You go through your own, and that stands.
That's right. I'm looking at that Yeah, that's true. I'm looking at that memorandum 200. It came out April 24th, 1974. It was classified. They declassified according to, this supposed to be the original copy or a copy of it, and it's a National Security Council, Washington, D.C., and it says implications of worldwide population growth for U.S. security and overseas interests.
That's right.
Man.
You see, the word interest means money.
Yeah. Overseas interest. Yeah, it's the Department of Security. It says Department of Defense, Agricultural, Director of Central Intelligence, the Deputy Secretary of State, the Administrator Agency for International Development. That's all this went to. Man.
Well, it's funny you mention agriculture, because they also have another one of those families with the agriculture, and you have people like Bill Gates going into different countries at this point right now, selling some type of fertilizer, which destroys the people. I mean, it's contaminated with God knows what.
We're listed under agriculture. Under agriculture.
Yeah, he's the biggest person for eugenics going around right now. I mean, this man is really dangerous, and I don't understand why people just deem him as a hero. A hero of what?
Is it that the people are just ignorant to the Bill Gates and what's the guy with CNN, Ted Turner's, those guys?
I don't think that they're ignorant of the fact. I think that people are, they don't, well, particularly when it comes to African Americans, we don't read like we're supposed to. We don't want to know. And even when the facts are brought to us, we have a certain way of denying certain facts that come our way instead of listening
and
learning.
Part of the thing with black people that think they are African Americans, I always like to say that because they really know what it meant. But they like to, they want to fit in so bad with their oppressor.
Yes.
They want to be a part of the system. They're so afraid of being asked a question, is this what you stand for? Is this what you believe? That they play into the shadows, and then therefore, so that their children can be accepted among our enemy, they go along just so that they think that they're getting by. But in reality, they're hurting us generations to come.
I agree with you 100%.
You can't blame them, but the parents know, but they hide. Children suffer.
You brought up a great point that I think that we get to the point where we want to be accepted and acknowledged so badly that we overlook everything. And I don't understand what's the reason to be so accepted for. It's time for us to have our own.
I'll give you an example. I have a friend of mine, and a real close friend of mine, and they have family members on Facebook, and I looked on their pictures. And I've just had over 300 some odd pictures. And I actually took the time to go through, because I'm always preaching and trying to teach, I guess, to them. And I went through all of the pictures, and I said, you know, I said, you are hurting your children. He said, how you figure that? I say, your children could not walk through a black neighborhood and get through a black neighborhood that may be a little rough because they don't know how to act amongst their own people. With my children, who know how to act in society, knows how to act around the enemy, also could walk through a neighborhood that may be a little rough and still walk through and have no problem. And don't be scared. But my point is they took pictures, and out of all the 300 pictures, only so two pictures that was with somebody black that didn't have a white in the picture, and those two pictures of blacks had uniforms on, some type of, not necessarily police, but some type of uniform, meaning they were ahead or something. But my point on that is to show that we don't realize how we're hurting our children. They lose sight of who their own people are. They're afraid of their own people, and then that they're just going to be lost in the mix because this is what this one world society is trying to get to. They're taking the minds of the people.
They ain't trying. They're doing it.
They're
right.
Doing it.
It's called
perpetual
motion. If you ever look that up, it's actually an agenda. Perpetuated motion. Perpetual motion. It's basically they get the engine started, and we pretty much running it the way they want it run. We're moving in the motion they want us to move it. We don't control our motion. They control our motion.
We're pretty much pawns, and their mission is to keep us unaware of what's going on.
Right.
And any time that someone comes up with anything, they're either whacked off or considered crazy. Trying to remember the guy who they just killed. It was a doctor who had, I think he did an autopsy on, I can't remember the facts. Can you help me out, Maurice? Do you know where I'm going with this?
It
was a doctor who just performed the autopsy on someone who was accused of dying at being murdered from the Illuminati family, and the autopsy results were supposed to come out the next day. The doctor ended up dead.
Wow.
This wasn't long ago; just a few months ago.
You know something else, too, you guys, while y'all were talking, I was kind of thinking, and we weren't going to do the religious subject because he has some good stuff on religion, too. But we need to because the reason why I say that is because it's connected. Because, you know, we read the Bible, and please do not get me wrong, there's nothing wrong with reading the Bible. But a lot of stuff in the Bible makes us or designs us to continue to be with our enemy. Do you understand what I'm saying? Or be with our oppressed the way that the Bible is
but
Selena,
taught in the way. But Selena, it's not the things that are in the Bible. It's the way we were taught.
That's what
right.
I said. The way we were
because
taught.
You can go and I can go and read a storybook about the little red hen. I can turn around and make you think something other than what the book is trying to say if that's the way I taught it. So
yeah,
what
right.
we have to understand is that we're taught, who taught us the Bible? Who taught us the understanding of the Bible? Our oppressor taught us. And first, before he would let us, he handpicked the preachers and only had them to teach what he wanted them to teach so that he could control the flock. And they said the best way to control them, I mean, a local sheriff here in our area, Salida, and you know this because we were told this, went to a local church here and told the church how he was so happy with them because they brought more religion into the big prison of Angola, which is the biggest prison in Louisiana, and it really docile the inmates in the prison. It made them, slow their roll, so to speak. It could control them. Yeah, think about it. So it's what they tell them, it's what they teach them. So you can take that same Bible
That's
and
right.
teach it right and bring the minds of the people up. So it's not necessarily the book, even though the book has been tampered with, but there is a lot of good in it. But we just have to know what it is and not take what our enemy has taught us. And then our people are so dead, we say the white man is doing it so wrong, but then everything he teaches, we run with it.
Yeah,
you seen the movie Armistead, right? Armistead?
What?
Remember when he just looked inside of the book and started telling the story?
Yeah. Yeah.
They didn't know how to read English. You know, they was asking just came off the ship.
They sure didn't. They didn't even know how to speak the language.
But they just read it by what the picture described. And that wasn't even the right way, but that's the way they perceived it. You know what I mean? It's our perception. But these people are guiding that perception in the wrong way. They're not. They're taking it literally. It's not enough. It's an allegory. The whole book is an allegory.
Exactly.
It's basically an allegory that comes from the Zodiac, the Maserat. I mean, you can basically take all of those stories, even going back to the bondage of Egypt and the Israelites. It's a story, and it comes directly from the Zodiac. It's basically talking about the movement of the sun.
That's true. That is absolutely true.
And
the church? Oh.
The church is another thing. You got to remember, back in the day, like you said, they showed them a book, and the preachers was just preaching, really didn't know if they didn't understand the Bible. When they start reading the Bible, they didn't understand it. So it just went from generation to generation to generation, and you got people still believing what the original people said, the original slaves said that the Bible meant. So
that's because they were taught by the masses, which wanted to keep the people oppressed. But that's why a lot of people, if you're here, I know especially, we slip up in the nation line. We said they go to Bible seminaries.
The church plays a huge part in how we view the Bible in a lot of ways, even up until this day. Going back into the time of slavery, it's not so much that the slaves didn't know the Bible. Many of them did. I mean, you have scholars such as Frederick Douglass, who was trained and learned how to read by white people. So there were people who understood the Bible. The problem was it goes back to the Willie Lynch letters. Did you know that many of the pastors, well, first of all, on some plantations, it was prohibited for them to even have a church or to study theology in any type of way.
Mm-hmm.
But then there were some that did allow their slaves to go to church, and they were told these pastors could only preach one message. And this message is still being preached in our church today. Hold your peace. God is going to take care of everything. The battle is not yours. It belongs to God. Just sit back. And they taught forgiveness. That was the only thing that they were allowed to preach. And this goes on to this day. And you will still hear people, they could be facing the most horrific times of their lives, and the first thing that they'll do is say that I'm just going to sit back and wait on the Lord. That's wrong teaching. Because God never told us to be wimps. We're soldiers.
Mm-hmm.
We're warriors.
But I would say this. You know, Frederick Douglass being very great, but unless someone came and give us a different teaching, we were not going to get a full understanding from our oppressor. He's just not going to do that. He's not going to do it because it's not to his advantage to do so. When you have someone that are trying to survive, and you have someone that are trying to keep his oppression live, he's not going to give you the ammunition. That's why our children today come out of school so dumbed down. They don't want you to learn. They don't want you to learn simple facts of how to set a budget up. They don't want that. They want to keep you oppressed by financial oppression and
things
of such, and keep you dumbed down as far as history, because they can't control you if you're not that way.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's true, but we have a lot of people in our community right now, African-Americans, so-called African-Americans, that are more than qualified to show us certain things that average person wouldn't know. But they don't. They sell right into the same vicious white system that holds us down. And any information that they do know, they're withholding it.
But, Ross, we have some that want to help us, but because of the power.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to say all. You're right. There probably are some people out there, but it's too far.
It wants to demonize them, and then we're so weak-minded as a people is that we go with whatever we see on CNN, ABC.
Oh, yeah, that's true, too. Definitely.
But that, you
definitely.
Saw them on TV? Oh, come on. Grow up. Do you still believe everything these oppressors tell you? They've been kicking your butt all these years, but now they're going to tell you the truth.
But we have enough people here in the United States and abroad who are well-educated, who are well-financed, who we should be at the point now where we should begin to build our own communities.
I mean, we have to. We
have our own schools, our own hospitals, our own everything.
I'll give an example.
Agriculture, learn how to farm.
I always use this to give an example of what we have to do for ourselves. If you go back and you guys remember BET, when was that Bob Johnson? Was that the name that owned it?
Bob. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. Okay. Yeah.
On BET. Do you guys remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You had looked at that station. What did y'all see happen all the time? Was it a lot of PSAs on there, public service announcements, all the time on that station?
Nothing
you know when
but
the media, what they, why do they run a lot when you see a lot of PSAs? Because they don't have paid commercials in those spots. You run them in between shows so that your timing will be right in those, when the new shows come on, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I want you to look at BET today once he sold BET. They are bombarded with commercials. You will see a commercial. You rarely see PSA. You still see them, but you rarely see them because of the fact that they are now, it just shows you the hypocrisy of these people in this country and those who are in power. They are not going to do anything to help us unless they have us in their grips.
Oh, of course. It was designed that way. I mean, look at what happened to Bill Cosby. This is what I've read. I don't know this for sure for myself, but this is what I've read. Bill Cosby wanted to buy NBC Network. His son died as a result of that. To show
yes,
him a lesson
that.
Yes, you will not. Don't even think that you're coming into our world and buying networks. It's just not going to work. The same thing is happening with talk radio. I mean, not talk radio, but the radio stations. Certain radio stations in New Jersey and New York area just went under for the same reason. I mean, we have the resources to have our own. And there are some people out here who've tried to make it happen. The same thing happened with Wesley Snipes. He ends up in jail. Don't ever think that he's in jail because of taxes. He's in jail because he came up with a system on how to beat the middleman out and create his own money.
And that's
and
probably
hire.
Another
so anytime that you get to a certain level, be sure you're going down. I heard that I just read yesterday that Oprah Winfrey and I can't, what the heck is this guy's name? Tyler Perry is supposed to be coming together with their own network now.
Yeah, but
and I wonder about them too. You know, I know as soon as they reach a certain level, something horrible is going to happen.
Well, they still don't own the network. They may own that station. They may own the rights to that station, but they're still being aired by a bigger, somebody that's more powerful than them.
Well,
oh,
then,
I know. Oprah owned her own network, and they bargained her out.
They
controlled it and put her in a position for just show, but she doesn't control anything now.
Oh, she don't control it. She just owns it. Y'all own it. They control it.
Well, that's just what happens when you look at Gaddafi. Gaddafi put up 400, his country, he had his country put up $400 million, and the African nation put it up $100 million. They launched a satellite so that they will be able to make their own phone calls and not go through England. And that's another result of why they had to get Gaddafi
mm-hmm.
out of it.
He was too smart.
Yeah,
he was brilliant.
Up a World Bank, I mean, not a World Bank, a bank in the South America that would now they could, I think it was going to put up $16 billion, $24 billion, where they would be able to go and borrow through that bank instead of borrowing through the World Bank, and they had to get rid of him. And a lot of people, they buy into this lie about blowing up the Pan Am flight. Well, I mean, you know, it was all a facade because they wanted the officials into that country to stop this man because he said himself, Gaddafi said himself, that the black man and woman needs to be put back on their proper pedestal, and that's the head of where they come from as king and queen. He said this himself, and they didn't like that. They knew he was coming out with the truth.
Oh, yeah. He was the first person. He was the first Arab to actually apologize for slavery.
Right.
He was the first. Gaddafi had the same ideology as Marcus Garvey, and that's why he was killed. He was just too smart for his own good. The thing is, he's gone now, but do you actually think the mission is gone? No. That's why the war continues.
And that's why the government is funding the so-called people they were fighting in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
America's CIA agents are all in Libya. Let the truth be told. And everybody knows, well, I won't say everybody knows, but those who are enlightened knows that their tentacles have been in there from day one.
Maurice, you was going to say something. Go ahead and say something, Maurice. Maurice.
Yes?
Hello? You was going to say something?
Oh, yeah. What they're doing, they're gonna put a, after they get Libya straight, they're going to put a central bank in there, just like they did Iraq. I mean, it's about get these banks set up. They don't have very many countries left to put them central banks in. And once they put that in order, then it goes into a world currency.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Maurice, can you enlighten us a little more on the United Nations and why they only have five permanent members who have veto power, and those alternating countries basically are at the wheel of those veto powers? And our problem with when it comes to Israel, always having America veto anything that may come against it.
I mean, they have a lot of rumors about that because they basically saying that Israel is a state of the United States because you know they call it the state of Israel.
Right.
And remember
is there any reason a country like the United States fights so hard for a nation that has nothing that Israel can do to help the United States?
Yeah, they're helping the United States, trust me.
I guess financially,
first
yeah,
of all,
right.
The United States, y'all
helping them control the Middle
United
East,
States
but
is
I mean,
a corporation.
Right.
It's still a corporation.
Right.
We're not dealing with, principalities here. We're dealing with spirits here. Corporations is considered a spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not dealing with anything organic here. We're dealing with corporations. That's what you got to realize. Israel, the state of Israel, is a corporation. It's not so much as the people doing anything. Just like it ain't, that's like us. It ain't us doing everything. Who's running the world? The corporation. These people are only actors. Just like the president. He's an acting president. He's acting under a title. This is what corporations do. They have titles that are set up. You know, every corporation has a treasurer. Every corporation has a president. You know, these things, they have an administration. I mean, this stuff that we're dealing with is business. It's just all business. It ain't even personal. It's really business.
Mm-hmm.
So when you say the UN basically was the League of Nations at first. It was originally the League of Nations.
Right.
And then they put it together as the UN. Then we talking about the small people. You ain't even talking about the Vatican. The Vatican is what's setting up most of this up.
Yes.
It's the top people. The Vatican has treaties that's been around since the twelfth century. That anything that England even lands on belongs to the Vatican. They're the ones that's basically controlling. They control all the religions. I have that on my Facebook page where I show the different religions that the Pope had on the puppet strings and all that. All of the religions. Most of the organizations is under the Vatican through that treaty, that Magna Carta, that treaty that he made with King John, I think the first or the second. It was one of those kings of England. And they did it by force. He turned all the barons basically against them. And he had to sign it under military, what's that word, coercion. He had to stand there and sign that paperwork that gave the Vatican the power over the world. They have a title on us. It's a birth certificate. That's the title. They have a title over everything on the planet.
Is that why the Vatican, along with Washington, D.C., I think it's one area, where the Queen is in England.
Yeah, London.
And,
London City.
Was it five? Is it four or five places in the world that are not considered a country? I mean,
three. Three powers.
Okay.
You have the United States control the military. You have the Vatican controls religion, and what's the other one? And England controls the finance. There's three of them. Because, you know, when you go to D.C., you have the three stars on the D.C. flag.
Right.
Each one of them represents the crown state.
So, basically, when you're saying that it's all business, let's bring it down to layman terms. At one time, Sears and Roebuck was number one company.
Okay.
Walmart came up through the ranks, it's all business, and knocked them out of that spot. Even when it came up to Kmart, I think was number two, but now Walmart, it came up to number one. Now we see Target is coming up to number two in this new day and time. So when we say all business, these guys are vying for money and power. Is that a correct analogy of it?
It's just pure power and control. I mean, that's all it is. It's control. They ain't worried about owning nothing. We own our body, but they control everything we do. How they do that? What's law? They got their laws and their statutes. We own our body, but they control it. Who has the most power? The person that controls you, right?
Go ahead.
No, I was just saying. I mean, it's pretty much just like I don't like to use the term pimps, but the prostitute controls our body. I mean, owns our body, but that pimp, he controls, and he's the one with the most power. The person that controls, not the person that owns. We don't even own our own homes or our vehicles. We think we own own them, but we don't control them. We still got to pay taxes on the property. We owe the banks, or even if after you pay for your house with the banks, you still got to pay property taxes. So
mm-hmm.
Who's controlling? You get your car. People think you control your car. That's an actual title. That's not the real title that you supposed to got from the car dealership. You got the title from motor vehicle. So motor vehicle is still doing what? Controlling. These are controlling agents. It has nothing to do. That's why when y'all say we can have our own, you might could have your own, but it's still being controlled by something. There's an entity that's controlling it. Churches don't own their churches. They have to do what? They have to register their churches. Get a license for their church. They got to get a license to preach. Anytime you got to get a license, what are you doing? You're asking for permission.
Right.
So,
exactly.
So that means you still control it.
That's true.
Why in the nation we don't get license to go forward, because you feel that freedom of religion. No license required.
You don't really have to get license, but people get it. Why? Because
you have
people out here that will destroy your life if you don't do what they say.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
I just wanted to add on to what Maurice was saying about Israel. There was just one little thing that I wanted to add in there. I'm not sure if most of you know, but 80% of Israel is owned by the Bilderberg family.
The Rothschilds.
Mm-hmm.
Remember the Rothschilds family, actually. Well, it's the same thing.
I'm sorry, the Rothschild family, yeah. I'm thinking, I'm sorry,
thing.
I got it twisted. The Rothschild family, I'm saying
the
Bilderberg
the
family.
Same thing.
But
it's
they
all
the same thing
they
because
they
own the Bilderbergs, yeah.
Now, you know what? Do you ever notice how people, when they come into power, they always go see the Pope? You ever notice that?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
The Pope is the one that
orchestrates
everything.
But he wants
yeah.
to be so innocent and wants to think
yeah.
that he's so people, and they just don't know. It's just dining with the devil.
Yeah,
I think
exactly.
it's probably some kind of secret society initiation that they
yeah.
probably grant put over whoever's in power, some kind of anointing. Satanic.
Well, it's
anointing.
That's why Khalid Muhammad was living. He said that if he got clothes under the Pope, he'd pull that skirt off and show you what's really under there. Because people really don't know. they just don't know the things that's going on. That a lot of them are truly, you know, ignorant to the truth.
Baptism is initiation. People don't realize that.
Exactly.
Even baptism is initiation.
Mm-hmm. Of course, it is. It is.
What was that? I'm sorry, miss.
Hold up, you guys. 704, do you have anything you want to say? Area code 704.
Hello?
I hear them.
Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I missed that. You were saying the last statement. I'm sorry. I missed that. I was trying to catch it.
What do you mean, baptism being initiation?
Oh, okay. I missed that. Yeah, okay. I didn't hear it.
Baptism is even initiation.
Right.
It's a ritual.
They do the
physical baptism, and they do the corporation type style baptism, which is when you get the titles, you deal with the law of the water. That's what the law of the water is about. It's baptizing.
I heard that connects
Holy
to marriage law, right?
Say that again.
The baptism, somewhere that's connected to the merit law.
Yeah, well, it's dealing with the water. That's what Mary means, water in Latin.
Right.
So when you say like marine, when you deal with marine, that's dealing with water. Why? Because it has Mary in it. It's Latin. Well, a lot of if you look at a lot of these Latin terms, that's where most of the secret lies in Latin. They like when you go in the courtroom, you deal with a lot of Latin terms in the courtroom. And who was the people who were speaking Latin? The Romans. This is what the government is under. We're under the Roman government. When you look at the flag of the courtroom, you see the eagle. The eagle represents Rome. You go inside the where the president does the State of the Union at. You look on both of those sides. Those are the fascist symbols sitting right on the side of the on each side of the it's like a bundle of sticks. And it's like a rope wrapped around the stick. And on the top of it has an axe. They used to have them on the time back in the day. And that represents Rome, too. That's the symbol of Rome. This is Rome. This is like the new Rome. Rome never fell. What Rome did was became the church. Rome turned itself into a corporation. It never fell. Rome is still controlling the whole entire world right now. But they're controlling it as a corporation.
And that, but so you're saying we'll never get out of the bondage of what's going on because we're not.
I can't say never. We still got to be optimistic. You still can't say never. You know, it's up to the system will have to destroy itself. You can't. We can only thing we can do is learn. We can only just keep on studying it. I'm not saying you can go out here and get a revolution or something like this. It's not going to work like that. People have a lot of power. You know what I'm saying? But you can learn the system to try to better yourself and to better your people. Like when you go to court, teach your children about how to deal with contract law.
That's the whole thing right there, court. We're not going to move anywhere until we learn how we can be a corporation. Because as long as they're incorporated, it exempts them from being sued or pursued after. So we're in limbo right now. We have to come up with creative ideas on how to overthrow a corporation. Because if you notice, everything that is hindering us is all corporations.
That's right. All corporations were hindered. But with the thing is, we don't know how to distinguish ourselves from the corporation.
We have to come up with something. Someone has to come up with a way on how you can beat a corporation. I mean, look at the prison system right now. That's even a corporation now. Everything. We can't go after anything. Anything that's suppressing us.
It's a corporation. It's always been a corporation.
Mm-hmm.
Prisons have always been corporations. Always has.
Yep. But that's where the big money is.
They've always oppressed us, too. And now we even have the private corporations, prisons.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's always a private corporation. It was always private. And public ain't nothing really but a private. It just means private.
It's a form of slavery that's legal now, and there's nothing that we can do because we can't fight the corporation.
You can fight it. You can still learn their laws. Pretty much when you go in a courtroom, you're dealing with trust law and you're dealing with contract law. You know, you still have a right. We still have a right to say no to a contract. There's rules that they have to follow. Even though it's a corporation, they still have rules they have to follow.
To a certain degree, but you hold them to their rules. Mm-hmm.
I know people talking about, well, are you still dealing with the system? I say, well, you have to do what you have to do to survive. So you learn their laws, you learn their the way they operate. Like when you go in a courtroom, you don't go in there saying, well, they say state your name. That's the first contract they make with you when you go in a courtroom, when they ask you to state your name. That is not your name. You got to understand what the term name means when you go in the courtroom. Names is just basically dealing with product, and it's a commercial term. So if you're going to go in the courtroom and say, my name is such and such, such and such, then they're going to pull you on in there with a contract. They don't have to disclose what the contract is. All they got to do is use what? The presumption of law. All they're doing is assuming, making an opinion, making an assumption in the courtroom. And whatever you believe, that's what they're going to stick with.
That is true.
Whatever you believe, they're going to do that. When I go in the courtroom and they ask me, what's your name? I tell them I'm Maurice of the family Chandler, something like that. What that does is I put my name in a prep. I put it in a prepositional state phrase so it can basically identify a little bit better. So if you go in the courtroom and say, my name is Maurice Chandler, and then it's written in all caps, which is an adjective, then you're basically describing yourself as something other than a noun. You see what I mean? You got to understand the way English works. English is a very tricky language. I've always been an equivocal language. So when you go in these courtrooms and you learn trust law, you can say that I'm an executor, I'm acting as an executor. It's an act. The judges in there, they're not really a judge, but they're under the title of a judge. Under a title meaning an assumption. They're under a color of law. They're dealing with color. Like the term color, like I never like when they say color people. Because the term color means it means false. It means something that's false, something that's not real. It's only dealing with assumption. It's just like it's assuming something. So when I go in the courtroom, I recognize all of that stuff. And I sit there and I study and I watch, you know, sometimes I either go in there just to sit in there and watch other people and just to see how they operate in there. They're basically dealing with contracts. Everything in this country is a contract. Everything we do in our life is a contract. Even when you consent to something, you know, if you have a partner, you and the partner gets married, that's a contract. It's basically two parties agreeing. Pretty much that's all a contract is. It can be verbal or it can be written.
And you know what we were talking about, coming together and making things happen.
Mm-hmm.
My thing is, we're so intertwined with the others that it's hard for us. Because Minister Farrakhan had said the other night, and it really got me when he said it. He said, do you ever notice that there's a Methodist hospital, there's a Baptist hospital, there's a Jewish hospital, there's a Catholic hospital. He said, why isn't there a black hospital where there's all black doctors and all black nurses and all black administration? We don't have none of that. We have nothing to call our own. We have to feel like we have to intermingle with the others in order for us to be part of society. We have to have something that is of the white race in our life connected to us. We have to find ourselves working for them. We have to. Why do we feel that we have to have them part of our life? Because I went back to what the Bible says, where you love your neighbor, love this, love that. And sometimes, not to say I'm against the Bible, please do not get me wrong, but lots of that stuff in the Bible, like we said earlier, was put in there to keep us in a certain perspective of how we're supposed to see society and how we're supposed to interact with society.
Well, it's just basically the way it was taught, because when it speaks of love thy neighbor, just remember who our neighbors were in the beginning before we were enslaved. Our neighbors were our brothers. So that's who we're supposed to be loving. Not, it didn't say love our enemy, because our neighbors and our enemy are two different things, but we were taught that our enemy is our neighbor. That's the big hoodwink. That's the trick. So if we want to be separate, it's now that we shouldn't be separate from our enemy, because we're taught our enemy is our neighbor.
Yeah, and that's the confusion that we've done. Well, they've allowed us to learn that confusion, and that's why I think we're so soft-hearted, and we lay down and we get beat up, we get disrespected in every aspect of our lives, and the Bible says for us to forgive and love our neighbor and just do what it says. We're not going to do anything else. We're just going to do exactly what it says. Pray and be quiet and be still and don't do nothing while they steady beating the crap out of us in every aspect of our lives.
That's the part
that's the part
to feel that way.
And just to show you how blatant disrespect anyone has for people like us, because we don't think enough of ourselves. My wife and I was looking at a news report the other day, and they took news time to talk about a little girl's dog that was stolen, and she finally got a dog.
Somebody have their radio on. I can hear an echo.
All the things that are going on in our side and our people that are missing, there's so many reports that need to be. We have nothing going on, but guess the big sense is out because we don't have anything where we can put on news.
Keep going out, in and out. Somebody calling you?
No, I don't think so. I shouldn't be. I'm on a landline.
I hear an echo.
I don't even have a radio on.
But go ahead. Finish saying what you were saying. I'm sorry.
But I was just saying that it just shows that the thing that we just got to do something for self, because it just shows that we're not... We're not preparing our youth. I mean, and if we don't do anything, our future is not going to be there for our children.
Right. And that's not only just us. That's not just us. It's poor people in general, no matter what color they are. This is everybody. It's just some people may be getting certain treatments, or we might feel as though they're getting certain treatments. But it's 1% that's controlling the whole entire 98% of the population. It's not just us. It's issues in the poor white people that's going on.
Exactly. Yeah, it's everybody. I mean, all of us.
Everybody's doing it. I mean, a lot of them are just starting to realize that.
But you know what? What's going to be the surprising part for them, and this is for them, this is what I'm saying about them. What the surprising part about them is, because they're poor, they're about the rich and the elitist. You're going to fall in with us. You're not going to get treated better than we are, because it's about money. You understand what I'm saying? So if it's poor white, guess what? It's going to be poor white. And those poor whites are going to get in the line with us. They're not going to get separated from the rest of them. The elitist is going to be taken care of.
Oh, no, they're not stepping over here with us.
No.
They're definitely not stepping crossing over here with us, man. They're not doing that. That's a lot of the poor whites was the reason why that where most of the lynching came from. Poor whites being manipulated by the rich whites.
Exactly. You're right.
They're manipulated just like we are. They're in the same boat like us. They get manipulated just like we do. But they know how to turn the manipulation of violence on us. They turn it around and use it for violence against us.
It's like a whole bunch of roaches after this one little crumb, and they're going to fight to the end, even though they know they're in the same boat we in. They don't care. They're going to fight for that same crumb that we're trying to fight for. They're going to do whatever they have to, and that's where all the lynching, because it was more of the poor white people, like you said earlier.
Than it was black people. Remember after the Civil War, we had all of the trades. They had to go and start the integration. They did that integration with bringing more white people from outside of the country to suppress, to take down some of that that trades that we had, because we had all the jobs because we was doing everything. We built everything. I mean, they didn't do anything. All they did was control it. But we had the trades after the Civil War was over with. And those people got jealous about that. We went as far as to get education. We was more educated than white people was back then. And they still was able to get to take us down.
Black Wall Street. We both said at the same time.
White people was borrowing money from us. The Black Wall Street went down from jealousy. Them rich people started taking possessions from them, and they started looking at some black people over there being prosperous and working together, and they went over there and destroyed it out of jealousy.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? And you know what? We've never had another Black Wall Street since.
Exactly.
You notice that?
And that was all designed. You notice that all happened right before the Great Depression.
Yes, sure did.
Black folks was going to be fine during that Great Depression, but they wanted everybody to go down in that Great Depression. But black folks was working together. They was taking their little bit of money here, money there, and they put it together and built themselves a community. So if you can't
and
tell
that's
us
what
that
I was
talking.
And that's why
build.
It had to go down, because it would have proved the Marvis Garvey ideology wrong.
Exactly.
It can be done.
The NAACP was a part of it.
Mm-hmm.
The NAACP helped take down the Marcus Garvey movement.
I believe it. Don't even get me started on the NAACP. It's a good evening. I don't even want to go there.
That's another time. But that's why they formed the integration. They were integrationist people. Marcus Garvey was a nationalist. He dealt only with his people.
Uh-huh.
They wanted to combine everybody together. They sucked Martin Luther King and them into it. They thought they was doing something. I'm not from not what Martin Luther King did. He was a great guy, but he was being followed by the enemy, which was the NAACP.
You know, I saw a great debate on YouTube. This debate was between Malcolm X and James Farmer.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure if many people know who James Farmer is, but if you ever seen the movie The Great Debaters with Denzel Washington, James Farmer was the kid who actually won the debate, if you saw that movie.
Right.
Anyway, the debate consists of two different ideologies. Malcolm X, he was completely for reparations, building our own communities, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
While James Farmer was for affirmative action. And they argued this over for years. 30 years later, after Malcolm X was long gone, James Farmer was back on the same PBS program. And he said, after all of these years, Malcolm X was right. It was right before he passed away, right before James Farmer passed away. He says he was right. They fought and fought and fought for affirmative action, and affirmative action did not help the African-American community. If anything, it just kept the powers that be in more control, and that was what Malcolm had stated to them from the beginning. I thought that was very interesting.
You're right. Anytime
debate.
They agree with anything, it
and,
ain't right.
If you get a chance, go on YouTube and watch that. It was excellent.
Mm-hmm. They wanted integration. They wanted it.
Yeah.
That was something that they want. That's why the NAACP was even founded by white people.
Uh-huh.
The top people weren't founded. That wasn't out. Marcus Garvey, that was us. That was out.
Yes.
Yeah.
And they put those agents in there and the NAACP, and they helped divide the black people up. They just couldn't see it because of the NAACP. And religion, you have to put it in there.
Yeah.
All of it plays a part. Most of these wars are religious wars. And when we think of religion, it's not the way they think of religion. Religion to them is totally different the way we think of it. Camilla, what's your name, sir?
Brian.
Yes, Martin. I'm sorry.
What Martin said, it's about how we were taught. We was not taught religion the way they were taught religion. Like they would talk about the Puritans. When the Puritans came over here, they didn't come over here. They came over here for religious freedom, but it was for their particular agenda.
Exactly.
Not particularly religious freedom far as, you know, anybody's freedom to practice, because even when it came over, they hung one of the women for wanting to be a Quaker. You know what I mean? She wanted to study the ideology of the Quaker. So it was about that religion. Religion freedom, religious freedom to them was totally different than what we've been taught.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they came over here, they was oppressed with, no, they was oppressed for their religion. The Puritans had their own style of religion that they wanted to put into place.
Oh, yeah, that's why they
actually
came here in the first place.
Our religion.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to say our religion over here, first of all, was not the religion that we're in today. Most people don't know, and they what makes it so, and it shows us as a very ignorant people, is that we think we go on this propaganda that the media pushes that everything outside of Christianity is bad, that Islamic is terrorism, and Buddhism is idol worshiping, and everything in between. But if we understood that when you bought a people over and they were stripped of the knowledge of first themselves, because when
That's
you
right.
took knowledge of yourself and you took everything, because that mm-hmm. along with self is a religion, is a learning how to do for your family, is learning not to be dependent upon others. And then when religion comes into play, which gives a lot of people their backbone and gives them their conviction, and you force something else upon themselves, then you took their name, and when you took their name, you gave them your name or what you wanted to give them, then you basically have blanked out a certain segment of people to becoming basically perpetual slaves for sure, because they don't know nothing but what you tell them. So why would someone that's not going to treat me right now going to come and teach me right? I mean, that's what
right.
I always ask people, why? And they say, oh, that was back in the past. Well, it never changed. Tell me when it changed.
Religion is the media.
Never.
Religion is media. I mean, it was one of the first media. It's a part of media. It's a part of the propaganda. All of that. I mean, they keep saying religious wars. All of that stuff, all of that is what we think of religion is not what the powers that be think religion is. They use it as a tool. We don't use it, so we actually use it as if some type of spirituality, and it ain't. There's nothing spirituality about it. It's just basically business.
Uh-huh.
It's the media. We're looking at it in a total different. We're looking at it, our eyes are totally
so
different
true.
From what those people think.
It's used as a tool of deception. The same way that it was back in the Willie Lynch letter,
uh-huh.
what it was meant to do. It was meant. The way that they had instructed the pastors to teach the church in their parish is was built on trying to keep the slave calm during the storm and keep them less combative.
Predated.
And it's the same thing that's happening right now. I agree with you, Maurice. Religion is being used as a pawn. It's being used as a tool of deception to keep us
mm-hmm.
thinking one way instead of looking at the real picture.
That's right. It keeps that eye. They keeps that eye going somewhere else. I know a lot of y'all probably don't look at them little sci-fi movies like Star Wars and what's that other one? Lord of the Ring, where you seen that big gigantic eye that was sitting up on that mountain. They want to keep your
I've
eyes
heard of
turned
them, but
around
I don't like
another way.
Like that.
When I watch it, but it's a story behind it. When I watch it, it's a metaphor behind that movie, like Star Wars. It's a metaphor behind that. I mean, you're talking about the Emperor taking over the galaxy. You know, it's pretty much the same thing with this world. This world is the galaxy to them. And if you're dealing with, like, the Lord of the Rings, there's this eye. I forgot what they call the name of the eye, but I used to read up on it. And it sits up on the mountain, and it looks down at everybody. But what they was doing, they was causing wars over into another area so that the eye could draw his attention over to that area so that this little, he was a hobbit or something, could go over there and destroy it. But just think of it. Just think of it like your eye. Your eye, they got your eyes going somewhere in another direction while they're destroying you in another way,
mm-hmm.
coming from the back way to get you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you're watching, yeah, you're right. if you watch a lot of those movies, a lot of those movies are really telling a story that's literally happening now. If you look at Wall Street, look at Wall Street. Wall Street was a perfect example of corporate greed, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Those types, they know what's going on because they would be able to make the way they made them if they didn't know exactly what was going on, okay?
Yeah, okay.
We see it in entertainment when they're trying to tell us something. They're trying to let us know, but they already know they got us. Because guess what? We sit down and we watch it. We don't even see what it's trying to really show us. And it's telling the truth about everything it's saying. You guys, don't you understand this is what's really happening? We don't see it like that. We are so happy it's entertainment. Oh, it's entertainment. Because that's
like
how
that
they
election.
Us.
Yeah. That election is full of entertainment.
Exactly. Because you know what? If you think about it, Mitt Romney, you can see that he's not real. You can see he's not real. You can see almost, and I'm saying it in my mind, is not physically, but to see that the buttons are being turned and the stupid stuff that's coming out of his mouth.
Yeah, he's being controlled. I mean, there's nothing he can do about it. Even with that Obamacare, that's what they call it, the Obamacare, but it's actually it's a Republican thing. It's not even Republican. It's their agenda. It really don't even really have anything to do with health care.
Uh-huh.
I know I've done things on that. It's dealing with medical, with the pharmaceutical.
With corporations. So, here we go with
corporations
that ugly
again.
C word.
They ain't got nothing to do with people.
Yep.
Nope. And
absolutely,
you know what?
Nothing to do with people.
Yep.
Somebody put up something about the chip that they even get in the churches to in
oh,
Hollywood.
Yeah.
Yeah. Was that
oh,
you
yeah.
put that up there?
Yes, they got. I had my computer up. See, I can't talk with the computer and the phone, but I have that on. I actually have that on my page. I'll probably send it to you.
Yeah,
showing you the rules on Obamacare, how it's implemented inside of the Obamacare plan, health plan. I was trying to tell one of the ladies that was talking. She told me we need that health care. I said, no, y'all don't.
No, you don't.
That health care is a setup because it's written right in there. It's in the FDA. The FDA is a part of it, and then there's it's inside of one of their laws and their statutes or something like that. They talk
not
about,
to mention 30 million African Americans won't even qualify for it.
Trust me, we will. They want those implants.
They want
tonight.
Us to have it because Go ahead. I'm
either
sorry.
They're gonna do the implant or they're gonna do it with the cards. Right now we got the smart cards. Like I work for NIH. And I have a smart card. They can track you down. It basically looks like if you ever had a T-Mobile SIM card, right?
Mm-hmm.
It looks exactly like a SIM card. It's got the little electronic stuff in there. That's a smart card. That's the same type of device. I think that's a level one. The level two is the implant. That'll be probably in the future. I don't know if it's going to happen in our time, but it's coming.
But you know
they're
what?
Really
it probably already happened. I mean, we don't know what
they
the flu shot vaccine.
They already have it. I'm gonna go look in the FDA. When you look on my Facebook page, I have it in there.
I mean,
the
when
whole
it comes
entire,
to when it comes
I got
to
the whole laws and all the codes and everything on that sitting
when
talking
it,
about
it,
that new device.
Maurice, you were talking
yes.
about your ID card for work. The PA just
yeah,
got that.
The smart card.
Yeah,
it's the same.
PA.
It's the same type of technology.
Yep, it's a little chip in the back of it. Yep.
Yeah, it's just like the T-Mobile chip. Like they can find you. It's like it's like they can do the navigation and all of that.
Exactly. The military started it. The military has them now too. It's in the military.
Yeah.
Of
military
ID
has it. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Military government facilities have them now.
Yep.
And that's just the level two, level one device. Now they have the level two. The level two device is the one that's the implant.
Well, like I said, we could already have it because we have no idea what's in these flu vaccinations that we require.
No, it ain't in us right now. It has to be surgically put in. It's not even a big, it's like laser surgery that they use.
You know, well, that's
that.
What they make us think, but you never know.
You never know what
they have today. Because you have to remember, you know yourself what the Illuminati stands for. It's how well they can deceive us.
Oh yeah, they never know.
I don't put nothing. I don't.
I agree with you with that, Roz. And being in the military, being being in the military and all the vaccines that we had to take, I don't take nobody shots. No flu shots, none of them shots. I stopped doing that because why we were in the military and all the pills that we were forced to take and all that stuff. They didn't get me to take the shots. I don't care.
Yeah, and I know as working in the medical field, I'm required to have all of the flu shots every year. Any shot that comes along, I'm required to have. And if you don't, at 1 year, I refuse to get the flu shot because I'm not going to take the flu shot. So I was suspended for about a week. They says, well, you're suspended for 1 week. If you don't come back to get it, then it's final.
That's coercion
right
there.
So
it makes you wonder what exactly is in that damn flu vaccine.
They just told you that's a mandatory shot.
You're right.
You're gonna eat that.
It ain't something for your benefit, that's for sure.
I know it's not.
No.
Because it should be an option.
Yeah,
it's supposed to be an option. But when you work in healthcare.
Did you guys just
when
hear
you need some money in your pocket, there ain't no option.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. I just heard on the news today, or was it yesterday, that there are a lot of companies now that are forcing their employees to take the flu shot because I think it's one of the big cities because it cuts down on sick time and they need them to be working during the flu season.
That's cool. Because every flu shot that I ever had, I got really sick a week after the flu shot. I felt worse than if I ever had the flu shot to begin with.
Pretty much all
they're doing is injecting the flu right back into you. Small dose of the flu is being injected right back into you so that you can be immune to the disease.
That makes you sound like a cattle. You sound like a cattle right there. They worried about you. At your job, if you get sick, you might miss sick time. That doesn't sound like nobody that cares about humans or people.
Nope.
That sounds like somebody worried about their profit.
Really?
That sounds like I want you to be at maximum level to perform.
Mm-hmm.
Right, exactly.
Just like doing what they do to horses and everything else so they can
join
the race.
That's right.
Not about the horse itself. It's so he can perform, because it was about the horse itself. He wouldn't sell them at the end and turn them into glue.
Right? They want to keep them horses in top condition.
Mm-hmm.
Right, it's money to be made.
It ain't funny, though, but it is the truth.
That is the truth. But it makes you wonder what's in those vaccines. And you know who's in control of the flu vaccination is Bill Gates. So automatically, you wonder, what the heck? I don't want anything he has his hands on. Nothing.
The pharmaceutical company. He's just a name. That's not the real person that's in charge. Trust me.
Nope.
It's the power to be. He's just a scapegoat like Obama.
Well, he's the scapegoat that I don't want his hands in nothing because I don't trust him.
See what they've done to you is just put the eye on Bill Gates and kept the eye off of them.
Now you know something else, guys, too, with the whole thing, with the ideal. Think about a population. From what I read, as far as specifically, white people are not having babies.
Yeah, that's another thing. Why they doing with the population?
Yeah, they're having a low birth rate right now. So,
everything
else is happy having babies and filling up the earth with all these babies, of course, guess what you're going to become? You're going to become the minority. And that's
they got
to slow it
down.
Yeah.
They got to slow it down. That's why they're promoting abortion and all that stuff.
That's right. That's right.
And it's all through the food now, too. Our food is so contaminated with God knows
the water,
what.
Everything.
Mm-hmm.
They try to keep us slow down, but it ain't working.
Nope, it's not. And then you think about our inmates who have sex with each other. They come out and have sex with the black woman, and they're killing off the black women's face.
Your voice is very strong. I didn't hear your last statement. What did you just say?
I was saying that they're sending our people to prison, okay? They be in prison for a while. They start having relationships with other men, when they come out, they're giving our women, our black women, AIDS. But we have the highest rate of AIDS. It's the black women.
That
group is the highest in the nation right now for AIDS, right here in Louisiana.
Now, isn't it?
They created it.
They created it.
Isn't it the very, if you look at it, you know, when they're saying that Baton Rouge, Louisiana, has the highest number of AIDS cases than anywhere else in the United States. Louisiana.
Well, who said that?
Louisiana has the highest amount of prisons anywhere else in the world.
I heard
so isn't
he
it,
was the highest on HIV.
You can't trust those rating companies either. You can't trust it. That's propaganda too. That rate, all that rating stuff. I'm not saying that some of it ain't true, but even dealing with those ratings, they ain't right either.
Well, let's look at it. I look at it on this part. Let's turn it positive. That means that we need to do something because we know it's there.
Well, we know AIDS is there for sure. It is real.
Yeah, we need to
race ain't nothing but an opinion.
I mean, here and
everything is an opinion.
And when you're dealing with a system that can send us to prison for life for possessing a small amount of drugs, somebody that does murder get 3 years, 4 years, and then gets off on probation. You know, this system is definitely set up to enslave us and keep us. This 14th Amendment that was put in place. I'm wondering, could you tell me, anybody could tell me, well, face proclamation, for what reason, I may have this technically to get an opinion, for what reason would we need a 13th or 14th Amendment when if slavery, if we were supposedly set free with the Emancipation Proclamation?
Well, the 13th Amendment basically put you back in slavery.
Well, I know
mm-hmm.
that, but why did we need it? Let's say if it was supposed to be helping something, why did we need it when we had the Emancipation Proclamation?
Well, it was their agenda because remember all the slaves were being owned privately by citizens, remember? So in order for them, the government, of course, like to control, right? They wanted to take that power away from the regular citizens. And that's why the emancipation was even set up, so it could take the control from the private citizens that own slaves. So then the government could own it.
Now, yeah, put it into a corporation.
Yes, the corporation owned the slave
right
by putting what statutes in the place. It was all set up like that. I mean, the 13th Amendment it puts you into slavery by saying. The only way you could be a slave is you was duly convicted.
Right.
So when they put that part into play and then they add on the 14th Amendment, which is the name, the incorporation of the name, it all goes together. It's like connecting the dots. It all goes together.
But they basically
want to take it from the Protestants.
What we're saying is that basically there's no need for that if they were just doing right. But they wanted to reenact slavery, so that's why they brought those amendments into play.
Well, it was done to do exactly what it did, to keep us right where we are. If you go to jail, you're a slave. And if
it's
legalized slavery, it's legal. There's nothing that you can do about it.
Yes, you volunteered and went to jail.
Uh-huh.
You volunteered
and
to go to jail.
And just like Maurice said, it took it away from the individual slave owner
and made it
a corporate slavery.
That's right. They wanted it just like they're doing right now. They took it from Gaddafi. He was an individual, right? Owning his own country, right? Then he went
and it's
there
not
and
even
the
only with
country.
African-Americans.
So
it's with Hispanics. It's even with white folks. Anybody that's locked up is a slave to the corporation of
That's
prison.
Right. Even
so
Rothschild
they really want now. They don't just have African Americans. They got everybody.
The 14th Amendment made everybody a slave, not just African Americans. They just psychologically made it look like it was just us. It wasn't just us. It was everybody. They tricked
and the moment
being
that
experience.
White folks wake up and start to see this thing, then they should jump on board and start the fight. Because they're just as much as slaves as we are.
I still don't trust them. That's our problem.
Either.
We can't trust them.
I don't. Because they don't want to believe it nohow. Because
the minute the government hands them a dollar or hands them a piece of land, they're turning right back on you.
Mm-hmm.
Just like the Homestead Act and all that. The Homestead Act was all set up too. And guess what? The government owned all of the lands pretty much that supported that Homestead Act, where they gave you a certain amount of land for a certain amount of money.
Well, you know what's going to happen? And
I'm still waiting for my 4 acres and a mule. Shit.
Well, you think about this. Like the eminent domain law, where they can come in and if they want your land, they can get it.
That's right. That's what you're using to pay for your land with. Their money. Caesar's money. That money has Caesar on it. Who's Caesar? That's Federal Reserve notes. It's promissory notes. So that it ain't even money. It's a bill. So when you use that money to buy a purchase a house with it, who owns it? The person who owns the money. You don't own the money. You're just using the money. We don't own the money that's in our pocket. It belongs to the Federal Reserve. It has the Federal Reserve note on it.
Yep.
That don't belong to you.
And rumor has it, they don't own money anymore either. The only thing they have is credit, and that's not even good. They just got sued by Japan for not having money.
Look, Japan and them don't own nothing either. They might think they do, but their money's being controlled by the Rothschild too. And
That's what the lawsuit had to deal with. And it also had to deal with 9/11. They claimed the Asian people claimed that they had 20 tons of gold stolen from them from the USA. And it was kept in the World Trade Center building is where they were holding all of this gold. And they believe, and this is what they suggest, that the place was bombed to confiscate all of that gold.
But this had to deal with oil. All of that was dealing with oil, with the AIPAC. Because AIPAC was about to take all of that money out of it, try to take all that money out of the bank. And the only way that the government can freeze that money, right, they had to have some type of a state of emergency. And that, after they had that state of emergency, they declared the 9/11 the state of emergency due to the Terrorist Act. That was how they was able to keep that money in the United States Bank. Because remember, OPEC, the United States is not an OPEC country, but it has almost 90% of all OPEC money in them banks.
Yep.
All that stuff, them people died over money.
Yep.
They had nothing to do with Osama bin Laden. They created them. They create their enemies, man.
Oh,
and
we
know
that.
They create their own enemies.
We know that.
I
heard he's not even dead.
He probably was dead. He probably was dead, and they blamed it on him. I mean, how could we do
it? I'm talking about bin Laden.
He probably was already dead because he was an old man when he was looking at the pictures. I mean, you can't even prove. Nobody can prove.
Well, you know
that
bin Laden was CIA, right?
Yeah, CIA trained him.
The
CIA trained him.
It's highly possible that he was never killed to begin with. Probably got a new identity somewhere, had some plastic surgery, and who knows, he's living a good life.
Man, this stuff went back to the Russian Cold War. It was a Cold War to the United States, but the United States also know how to do proxy war. A proxy war is when you you fund another country or nation to fight a nation for you. So technically, the United States fought Russia, but they fought them through Afghanistan. Remember, they were supplying to arms.
Yep.
And people used to get mad at me when I used to talk about the Haitian revolution. The United States helped the United States and British helped the Haitian people defeat the French. Because the French had most of the land. In the colonies, the French had owned all of the land. Majority of the land. England didn't have that much. They came into the colonization late. So they were getting the crumbs. You see what I mean? France and the Dutch and Portuguese, they was already doing that.
Yep.
The English came in the end and started. Slavery. So they used the Haitians and everybody to fight the French, and that's when the French went bankrupt. And it's the same banks that funded both sides. These banks, they fund both sides of the war. It ain't just one side. They don't care who the enemy is. It's about making money for them.
Hey, somebody making too much noise.
Huh?
Yeah, somebody losing a
can't even hear it. Like,
I know. Okay, you stop.
Well, I was muted out, so I didn't hear anything.
That was it. Every time you get muted out, it leaves a noise.
But anyway.
Yeah, them banks is something. They funded these wars. They funded the Asian War. The United States and England helped that out because they, guess what? Right after the Asian beat the French, what did the United States benefit? What did they get?
Louisiana Purchase.
The Louisiana Purchase. And who owned the Louisiana Purchase? It was the French.
It was the French who had it.
That's right. And then they turned right around and now Haiti is one of the most poorest countries in the world.
Yeah.
After they helped them out to get the Louisiana Purchase, they turned on them.
Yeah.
Under Clinton,
yeah.
Under Bill Clinton, supposed to be the first black president.
Yes,
he sure did.
He sure did. He would send them back. When they come over here, he would make them get back on them boats and go right back to Haiti. Sure.
That's right.
Did.
They smile on your face, but then behind your back, they're destroying you. I'm telling you.
Yeah. And they'd take anybody from Cuba that could get off the shores.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That was against Cuba. They was mad at Cuba for a while, though. Because Cuba was with Russia. They was mad at them for a while, but that was all set up to. They was setting that up to. All of South America basically belonged to the United States.
Yeah.
So when I say United States, I'm not just talking about this country over here. I'm talking about England and Nevada and all the rest of them that hooked up into it. They are the shareholders.
Yeah.
I ain't talking about this geographic land right here. I'm talking about a corporation that can go overseas. Corporations don't have the United States can be anywhere. Matter of fact,
mm-hmm.
They got Guam. They got the Malaysia. They got all different types of territory that the United States controls. Hawaii. They took out Hawaii real bad. Oh, the last queen of Hawaii. They ruined that lady and went in that country and destroyed all them Hawaiian people out of there. Good, peaceful, hospitable people. Destroy them.
Yeah.
So
yep.
It don't matter how nice you are, the corporation that they want you, they gonna get you.
Exactly. And now, that's crazy.
It was said that the United States give all kind of tax breaks and props to companies that leave the shores to go and employ people outside of the states, and that would kind of bear witness to the part where he says it's all about the money. That's why. It started, I think, under was it Clinton or Bush. I think it was the first Bush, where there a lot of companies start making exodus to avoid taxes and everything, but they were still able to all kind of props.
They weren't avoiding no taxes because, you know what, the IRS is all over the world. They're just called different companies, but it's still IRS is under the IMF. They're under the branch of the IMF, and the IMF is a branch of who? The United Nations. So they ain't getting away with paying no taxes, trust me. They can go wherever they want to go. They just ain't paying it to the IMF. They ain't paying it to this country, the IRS. They got another IRS in another country. The IRS is set up in all the countries that deal with the IMF. That's how they collect their money.
So they ain't getting away with it.
What
advantages besides the lower wages would they have of moving off the shores if they can't get out of
the
family?
They might get a cheaper rate or something like that, but remember, the corporation controls the corporation.
Yeah, but that's
you
what
still
I mean.
Have to register in Delaware. All corporations have to register in Delaware. And Delaware is connected with England. So those charters still go to England, and they're going to still get paid. There's nowhere you can run away from a corporation. I don't care if you're in the deepest part of Africa, or the deepest part of the jungle in the Amazon. You're not going to get away from these people. They're everywhere. They have a station. They probably got an IRS in Antarctica. There's no way you're going to get away from not paying no tax. You're going to pay your dues to that king.
Amen. Ask Wesley Snipes that. I mean, they chased this behind all the way into Africa, and one of his own people gave him up.
Exactly. You can't get away from these people. Come on. They control Africa back in 1919.
Yep.
It was called the Scramble of Africa. The World War One was about Africa. They was all fighting over different parts of Africa. That's why Africa got borders now. Those borders are European borders. That's why those borders are there. They didn't have no borders there until they came over there in 1919 and invaded it, the whole Africa except for Ethiopia. The only reason why they let Ethiopia go because they knew they were going to get it later. Now Afrikaans is in there now. They got them now. They ain't going to get away. England don't give up. England don't give up. They will keep fighting you till the end of time until you weaken, and then they will go in there and take it. These people take what they want. They're not nice people. We are nice people. We were always nice people. We let them come on in the country. And they went in there and showed you just how nice they was.
Mm-hmm. You've been nice.
Put it all back.
I called them nice.
Nice.
They just call them what they are.
They ain't nice people. They're about money.
I'll go back to this Bible that we were talking about earlier.
Uh-huh.
What does it describe? That the devil will have dominion over the air, sea, and the land, and cause mischief throughout bloodshed throughout the world.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then my analogy of those nice people, exactly what the Bible describes. And if that's why people always speak of the devil, and the enemy has told us that the devil is this thing up in the air, is this floating around that we can't see, is down under the earth.
it's right in front of your face.
Any kind of sense and no mathematics. Can't dig. Eventually, you dig down through the earth. You're gonna come through
mm-hmm.
the other side.
Exactly.
We want to believe.
You ain't gonna find the devil nowhere down there. The devil is right here on the earth.
Here on earth in our
and
face.
Here,
just
guess
like
what?
God
it's
is right here on earth in our
face. I would be surprised the devil's a corporation.
That's right. I mean, it's just people don't understand when you use the word devil. It's not this mythical cloud
yes.
or illusion.
Yes.
It's right here and it's working on us. And if they had.
Right.
Forces
mm-hmm.
that were stronger than that, the force of being stronger than devil is truth, and the devil try to suppress or break down or kill truth any way it can,
and it's killing it. And guess what? The devil is a force. The word force is power in that word force. The very word force means power.
Right.
If you don't want to live, they will force you. It's a form of God force. God means force.
And the devil wants to cause an illusion. He wants
mm-hmm.
you to be worshiping him when you think you're worshiping God all along. You're worshiping him.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what? You might think you're worshiping God, but you're worshiping him.
That's right. Amen. That's the whole thing. That's
everybody.
The whole trick of the Illuminati. It's not what they do. It's how well they can deceive.
That's why I say worship yourself. You gonna call out to God? Call yourself. Call out yourself, because that's the only thing that's gonna be able to save you. More
yep.
individuals gonna have to go within to save themselves, because you ain't gonna get it on the outside.
Right.
You ain't gonna get it calling on something. You call on yourself and start getting in that book and start being passionate and start teaching your children the best whatever knowledge you can pull out of here. There's a little bit of truth here. I might take a little bit of truth from there, a little bit of truth from there. And then even when I take the truth, it's only what I perceive it to be.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I can only put it inside and break it down from the inside and then share it. Because everything that you get ain't going to be totally the truth. And then when we share it, people ain't going to perceive it as the truth. Unless they try to see some type of proof, and they did a really good job in hiding that.
Well, the problem is everyone has their own interpretation of
exactly.
what truth
that's
is.
That's why I say you are the
problem.
God.
What
yeah.
you're the God, you create your interpretation. You have to do it yourself, but you try to get it as close to the next individual as you can. Because even when you stand up on that pulpit, the preacher's going to be preaching something to you, and everybody's going to perceive it in a different way because everybody
yeah,
has their own
that's
mind.
Right. That's right.
Interpretation comes because the deceiver, the enemy, has set it up that way.
That's
we didn't have all of this chaos before he came into our life. We didn't
had
have all of this chaos before we let an arch deceiver come in and take our minds and pit us against each other. And since then, we have been at odds ever since.
That's
and
why I like the principles
preachers,
of my eye.
They're not.
Those 42 principles of my eye are probably about the best law you want to get these days. It brings harmony when everybody's following under those principles. Once you leave those principles, then you have all these different these different rules that you're dealing with. But if you try to stay in the principles of my heart, not saying that everything, it's not a religion. It's just basically law that's dealing with yourself. It keeps the peace.
Right. It's so much that we have to pick up on as a people. There's so much that we have to learn that the things mm-hmm. that is these laws that they're setting up and these talks that they're doing. That's why I always tell people there's no difference in a Republican and a Democrat. I wish people would wake up to that.
Mm-hmm.
It's not.
Stop out
it's
being
really
out
not.
Here arguing this stupid point. The Republicans are this, the Democrats are out there. They're all in bed together. What
That's
difference
it.
Does it make? It's for black people and poor people,
mm-hmm.
it hasn't gotten any better for us. The only
Go
difference
ahead.
In black people and poor people is that if you're a poor white person, it could get better for you just for the mere color of your skin. But,
not
I mean, for us, it does not matter. It's been the same under Reagan that it is under Obama. Always
mm-hmm.
right.
We've been
mm-hmm. It don't even matter
what
poor, it's
year.
Just rich and
yeah,
poor.
Yeah, because all of them belong to the same corporation.
If they did
know,
belong
the,
to the same
the,
corporation, it wouldn't make
Illuminati.
A difference.
Hey, look, I'm going to tell you
all
this
of
much
them
right
are
here.
Still ran by that same one family that controls the world, that Rothschild.
Right.
So there's
what?
No difference. The agendas must go on. Their agenda
mm-hmm.
must happen.
Yes, their agenda is going to happen because they got the gold.
Mm-hmm.
The one that's the golden rule. Whoever
yep.
has the gold makes the rules.
Yeah.
Point blank.
You know, and
we
don't see how these countries
and
been
Bill
built.
Gates, if they ain't got no gold, they broke. Put it like
mm-hmm.
that. Put it to you simple like that. They don't have the gold, they are broke. Them rich people can fall right off the top of that mountain they on right now too. We dealing with wealthy. Wealthy and rich is two different things. These wealthy people is only the 1%. They have a lot of rich people, but those rich people are really poor. If you had $500 million
in your pocket,
there ain't nothing but debt.
Yeah, no such thing as rich anymore.
There's no such thing as rich.
It's
only wealthy or
poor. The
poor.
That's it.
I don't care if you have $100 million in your bank account. You're still poor because it's $100 million worth of promissory note, which is a debt. And if they call those debts in, you'll be poor. With a snap of the fingers. These people have.
And that's the
biggest.
Got,
they got
deception.
You under a foundation where they can pull the rug right from under you.
And that's
Real
the heat. Biggest. That's the biggest deception that Obama's pulling off right now. He's
mm-hmm.
out here just preaching to the middle class. There is no damn middle class.
There ain't
None.
No middle class.
It's the rich and the poor. And everybody
that's
is
right.
being hoodwinked into thinking that they're middle class. And when they're not, we are all poor. There is no
all you
more
have
middle
is materials,
class left in
poor.
America.
Materialism is just poor. You're just poor.
He has
just
not
poor.
Once mentioned anything about poor and poor working class people. And he won't because he's not representing these people. So he's
That's
smart.
Right.
He puts in middle class to deceive everyone into thinking,
That's
oh,
right.
he's talking, he's speaking for me. He's not speaking for you.
You know what middle class is? That's that psychological thing with white folks were going through back then.
It doesn't exist.
You know what white people were going through back then when they thought they were better than us? Well, that's
mm-hmm.
the same thing that's going on now with the middle class. This is the
Absolutely.
Modern
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yep. Well, you guys, our time is winding down. We're down to
Already?
One minute.
Wow, that
yeah,
was
Yeah, we
quick.
Can talk all day.
You guys, I
this
really,
stuff I
really
deal with.
Enjoyed this. Thank you, Mr. Chandler, for coming in and talking and giving us that knowledge. I really enjoyed it. Thank you, Rob. Thank you, Brian.
You're welcome.
You guys really, really enlightened. I'm looking at I'm on my chat room. People are listening, and I'm telling you, this was great. I like this exchange. So I want to say you guys have a great weekend, the rest of the weekend. And
you
I'll
too.
See you guys on Facebook.
All right. Okay. Have a great weekend,
Bye-bye.
Both of you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right.
Tune in next Saturday at 10 p.m. here on Blog Talk Radio for Say Your Peace Radio Show with your hosts, Salida McCall and Brian Coleman.